Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another hope made of
another show. Well, a full week of theater going for me, a splashy new Broadway musical, and a challenge in adapting a sexually charged film in a Me Too time. Then there was a dramatic revival with a starry couple in the lead roles. I also caught a new addition to 59 East 59's Brits Off-Broadway Festival, which gives new meaning to the phrase, everything but the kitchen sink. Finally, I saw the first dramatic presentation at the city's newest shopping, tourist, and entertainment center, in which one of my favorite actors, as opposed to actresses, turns into Marilyn Monroe right in front of our eyes. All right, do I have your attention? Well, let's start with Tootsie at the Marquee Theater. This one has been tuned out of town, and there was some skepticism about whether the Dustin Hoffman, Sidney Pollack film would translate to the stage and as a musical. Well, it's not breaking new ground, but it works. Beautifully directed by Scott Ellis, credit must also go to book writer Robert Horn, who has wisely kept a lot of the original script by Larry Gelbart. But he has made enough changes to keep it fresh, current, and yes, correct. The plot deals with a very temperamental actor, the kind who demands to know his character's backstory when, as he's told, your character doesn't even have a name. So he changes from Michael to Dorothy and lands a big role. In the movie, it was in a soap opera, but now it's in a Broadway show. The songs by David Yazbek are good, if not great, but mostly what this show boasts is a stellar cast. I will be very surprised if Santino Fontana does not win the Tony for his dual role. The two supporting actresses nominated are Lily Cooper and Sarah Stiles, and they are top-notch. I don't want to oversell Tootsie, but it does manage to capture what was there and reappreciate what is now here. Next up, the revival of Lanford Wilson's Burn This at the Hudson Theater. Now, the draws here are Adam Driver and Keri Russell of TV and movie fame. I'm not entirely convinced that this one, first on Broadway in the late 80s, needed to be done at this time. It does feel dated, and not simply because of lines like, I don't know why you don't marry him and buy things. The wickedly funny gay roommate seems a tired idea. You ever been to a gay New Year's Eve party, he says? The suicide rate is higher than all of Norway. Well, lines like that grow tiresome at best. It's not a painful 2.5 hours, due primarily to Adam Driver's Tony-nominated performance as the grief and guilt-stricken brother of a recently buried character. He is appropriately volcanic. I feel like I have a toaster oven in my belly, and he's even oddly touching. He towers over the rest of the cast, both physically and, well, talent-wise. Keri Russell looks great and tries hard, but she's not a stage actress, and this could have been a much stronger production with a woman who is. Now, moving to smaller spaces and frankly lesser-known names, a play called Caroline's Kitchen has moved into 59 East 59. This is a British import written by Torben Betts. Well, fasten your seatbelts, as it is 90 minutes of pure chaos, and not necessarily in a good way. Caroline is a TV food star, yet when the cameras are off, she is surrounded by all kinds of catastrophes. A hypochondriac husband, a lover and his loony wife, a son home from Cambridge with two big revelations. My son is a homosexual Bolshevik vegetarian, complains his father. I'm a vegan, comes a young man's correction. There are a lot of people talking and not listening in this one. There's also a hovering and dangerous-looking cooking knife you just know will make a return appearance. The problem with Caroline's Kitchen is its tone. It's not quite funny enough to be an Ackbourne-style farce, and yet it's too off the wall to be a serious drama. The truth is it almost made me want to go home and cook up a quiet meal. I said almost. My last show is notable because of where, more than what, it is. The production is called Norma Jean Baker of Troy, and what makes it noteworthy is that it is the premier production at The Shed, the artistic venue at the new Hudson Yards complex. The Shed hopes to be similar to the Armory in terms of offering edgy creative content. The current show is a two-hander that takes place in 1964 with Ben Whishaw portraying, I think, a playwright or screenwriter and Renee Fleming as his assistant. She takes dictation, and as he morphs into Marilyn, blonde on the inside is what counts, he says, she puts on his eyelashes. That was the worst thing I have ever seen, said one person walking out. Well, it's not that. After all, I saw Be More Chill. But it's pretty awful. 90 minutes of two fine performers lost in a weird work written by essayist, poet, playwright Ann Carson. It is a disaster to be a girl, sings Renee Fleming. Well, sort of sings Renee Fleming. I am sure many in the audience were writing their own lines at that point. The next play there will be hopefully better. And finally, the Tony nominations are out. Upsets? Snubs? Well, one and the same. The headline was Aaron Sorkin's To Kill a Mockingbird left off the best new playlist. Many had expected it to win. Network was also omitted. They are the two most successful shows of the season, so they won't be impacted financially. Network, in fact, ends its run next month. The rationale may be that both were based on well-known works, so even though they are new, they are not entirely original. Well, more likely, Mockingbird had a bit too much controversy getting up on stage, the fight with Harper Lee's estate and all that. It should definitely have been nominated, especially considering the competition. The Ferryman now seems to have a clear path to victory. For some, the other big surprise is the exclusion of Glenda Jackson for Best Actress. Well, here's a beloved 80-something woman playing King Lear. Well, this was due likely to the fact that Jackson won the award last year for a much less taxing role, incidentally, and this production, which did no one any favors, including the audience. The big winners? Hadestown, Ain't Too Proud, and Tootsie for Best New Musical, and one Jeremy Pope, who managed to get up for Supporting and Best Actor. One of the things we learned from the nominations is that it really does not pay to open too early and to play for too short a time. Just ask the folks behind Lifespan of a Fact, American Sun, and True West. Anyway, Jill, plenty more to debate, as always.
And when are they given away? It's June.
June 9th, I think.
Right. All right. Yeah.
You know, they're trying to get a. You could also say that some people say they named people. They nominated people with big names like Adam Driver, Bryan Cranston, Ruth Wilson, people who are known as television. Actors, you know, to help draw the audience for the Tony Awards. I don't think that goes into the thinking, frankly. Oops, sorry about that.
No, I do. I think that. I don't know. I'm pretty lived through numerous Tony nominations at this point, and it seems like every year there's something that isn't exactly, somebody isn't happy with something.
Of course, and that was a big story, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird not getting up for Best New Play.
Yeah, was there any inside information about that?
I've asked around, and they think that it was just, you know, it could either be a slap in the face at Scott Rudin, the producer who was in one.
Oh, for that lunacy, that silliness.
That's right. Not only the Harper Lee thing, but trying to keep other theaters around the country from doing different you know, he turned off some people. He's a controversial guy anyway, and he has a lot of shows. So it may have been a little bit of a slap in his face more than Sorkin's. I don't know. I mean, there's no other way to describe that. It was definitely a surprise. I mean, people who were reading them that day said, well, what? You know. But like I said, it sells out every single show, and I'm sure they're not crying about it.
And it keeps it in the paper anyway, so just,
right.
you know the old saying. All right, now, Tootsie is getting, you saw the movie originally.
Yeah, sure.
I did too, really liked it. How, because that was 19, that was some time ago.
Yes, it definitely was.
How did this, from that standpoint, you know what I mean? There was a certain amount of joy in the whole thing. It wasn't, I'm not saying there's no joy in this, and I know that certain things have been modified, that being said.
Yeah, less than you think. Fewer line changes than you'd think. A lot of the good lines from the movie are still here. Like, I learned more about I learned more about being a man by turning into a woman. You know, they've got all those lines in there. Throw a few in. There's an equal pay line in there somewhere. But, you know, less than you think. And it's, frankly, a joyful show. It's a very funny show. That's the thing it manages more than anything. The expressions on the actors' faces. A lot of laughter just from watching somebody listen to somebody else, you know. No, it works. It's a big traditional musical. And the Me Too thing didn't really enter into it too much. If anything, it seems more timely, if you can say that, because it gets inside what women feel and how men don't understand women until they get into their, you know, under their skin, so to speak. So you could make a case that it's more relevant now than it was then.
Did the farm equipment retail line make it in there?
Tell me what that line was. There is a line about that.
That was the doctor. I can't remember his name. The very handsy soap opera doctor, and Dorothy recommended to Dustin Hoffman recommended to Jessica Lange. You know, right. Next time just zap him in the patooties. Now let's look here, and we had to go to the yellow pages under farm equipment like retail.
Yeah, something like that is in here. Of course, it's not a soap opera now. It's
right. That's what I
show. But yes, there is a character who gets a little too handsy-onsy, and I can't remember. And I think he does say something funny that gets a laugh, you know. But anyway, it works. You know, who knew? So it's a very good, strong year for last year. You know, I think there was one original musical, the one that won, had no competition. It's closed by now, by the way. But, of course, I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, this year we've got three really strong contenders. And even The Prom is the fourth one, and that's, you know, not a terrible show. So, anyway, it's a strong year for new musicals, and they don't say that very often. So, for that, we can celebrate.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio. RobinHoodRadio.com.